All right, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it is good to be in this building as your church. We just thank you that we have the privilege of worshiping in freedom and studying your word. Help us as we look at your big 10 and what they mean for us. Bless this time for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, take your Bibles, please. Turn to Exodus chapter 20. We are on the Big Ten, the Ten Commandments. We're on number 4. We'll see how far we get because there's actually a lot here. And there are handouts back there for keeping notes if you're a note keeper. So the premise, for those of you that are new, from a commentator named Peter Enns, God's laws, especially in the Old Testament and the Big Ten, are for God's people to show a fallen world what kind of God they worship. We are to be salt and light. They reflect His holy standards and demonstrate mankind's need for grace. As His people, Christians, we reflect His glory. So the Big Ten, the Ten Commandments especially, are not a list of standards to judge the personal morality of others in public or in private. The bigger application is these things should be internalized, not, you know, a shallow do this, keep it very legalistically in a legalistic way. So they're reflecting God's standards, but not a list to beat people over the head. Sometimes we Christians are good at expecting unbelievers to live like Christians. They can't. Without the working of the Holy Spirit, they cannot. All their righteousnesses are as filthy rags, Isaiah says. So unbelievers need a Savior, not a right. Okay? Because sometimes we in the church are very externally oriented. Boy, they look like nice people. Yeah, but I know what's in your heart, you reprobates. So, with the Big Ten, the first table, sometimes we talk about the two tables. The first table, the first four, well, three and a half, let's say, are loving God vertically. So, no other gods, no idols. Taking the name of the Lord. Then now this one is somewhat of a bridge between the second table, which is more horizontal, you might say, loving man, murder, adultery, covet. So we have two tables. So let me, I'll throw this question out. We're having technical difficulties. What is your history? Past history, what do you remember about the Sabbath?
You were taught that as a kid? No, I mean, in church, you know, the doctrines or what was proclaimed to you. That, you know, what about, you know, I think of things, how many of you grew up, some of you were old enough to remember. Maybe not as old as me. Blue laws?
Cars,
but we can sell alcohol now on Sunday in Colorado. Autos, Chick-fil-A. We're not served on Sunday, although that's some states are demanding that they do. Actually, see you later, Steve. And did any of you grow up in a Sabbatarian denomination, like the Seventh-day Adventists and some other religious groups are big on that? Are big on that? some other religious groups are becoming sad.
It's pretty entertaining.
Went on that and can't do it on that side. I think I told you the story when I was still maybe down in I'm living in Mississippi. I you know, was in a Baptist church. And so one day, one Saturday, I thought, I'm going to go check out the Seventh-day Adventists. And so I went to their Bible study group, and they were fairly friendly, and they were, you know, whatever the discussion was. But very nice. Well, in camp in late, so it happens in other churches too, to show up late. This guy came in and sat down and instantly went to, yeah, but, you know, those Christians on Sunday, you know, I knew a guy that took his son to get a haircut on a Saturday. And, you know, it's like he was saying, well, let's just re-crucify Jesus for your haircut. You know, and then the Bible teacher said, blah, 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 we introduce you to our family. You know, so that, you know, they took that very seriously. So, all right, Mom, I'm ready. You've got to work now. Would you please read Exodus? I measure my own mother with a focus Bible. Not my mom and dad, but one of them. So Exodus 20, verses 8 to 11.
I will apologize. This is my memory Bible that's been put out of acceptance by the ESV. So this is the revised standard that I'm memorizing.
We like versions. We like versions.
I apologize. You said start with 8?
8 to 11.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God.
Test. Okay. We're waiting. Shall I treat my mother? Very good, thank you. So that's Exodus 20. Remember, they also enumerated in Deuteronomy 5. We'll get to that. So first of all, just to note, this is the longest commandment with an explanation and a warning. So whenever ink is spilled, it must be important. So the text, remember the Sabbath. And Sabbath, if you just want to think of a simple definition, that's literally a stopping or cessation day, a Sabbath, a rest. You're supposed to stop. And the purpose then, or if you have the NIV, the means, the purpose is by keeping it holy. To keep it holy, it belongs to God. That's the point right now. So a day to set aside for focusing on holiness. Genesis chapter 2, verse 3. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, declared it holy, set it apart, because in it, the Sabbath, he rested from all his work which God had created and made. So obviously God wasn't tired and needed a seventh day, but that there was very specific reason for that. And that was the paradigm. That was sort of the model. Okay, I, God, did this, sanctified it. Now you, Israelites, this is your commandment. So the prohibition then is normal daily labor by all the Israelites and the resident aliens. And it also provided relief from constant labor. So think of the Jews in Egypt. They had to make bricks all the time, but God is saying you've got to take some time off here. And then it allows, it goes back to creation, it allows 6 days, like 6 days for creation, it allows 6 days to provide a living. So you can, don't worry, you won't starve. You get 6 days, that'll take care of you on the seventh. We'll look at some verses in a minute. So this is what the Pharisees and the Republicans and the sinners with Jesus recognized. It's not a prohibition of life-necessary exertion. So the Sabbath was not meant, you know, to, well, you can break the Sabbath to prevent harm. And Jesus, when we get to the New Testament, you know, Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for man, not the man for the Sabbath. Oh, and so an illustration. How many of you have been to Israel? Yeah, I don't know if, I know you, we remember this. I think it was with you, the trip. They have Sabbath elevators. Did you ever experience that? You know, where on the Sabbath, because pushing the button is work. So they actually program the elevators to stop at every floor. Good thing Israel doesn't have any 100-story skyscrapers. But that's, you know, that's a misunderstanding, but a very literalistic, legalistic interpretation of this. And the model then, I'm going back to that, were the days of creation. So I would argue, that's not the point here, but that impacts how long creation was, how long ago was, the age of the earth. That gets into that a little bit. But, and to model, think of the Lord's Prayer. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that model of God resting on earth, that's part of the commandment too. Now, turn to Exodus 31. This is actually a little quiz. What was the sign of the Noahic, Noah covenant? What was the sign? A rainbow. What was the sign of the Abrahamic covenant? Circumcision. What is the sign for the new covenant? The Last Supper, as we take that. So for the Mosaic covenant, the Sabbath was the sign for the Mosaic covenant. Scott, would you read Exodus 31, verses 12 to 17?
For it is a sign for you and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. The work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on a Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever.
Stop right there. It's what? Between who?
Me and the children of Israel.
Okay, continue.
For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day,
okay, So it's the sign of the Mosaic covenant, and specifically, remember, meaning, significance, application. Right now we are talking about what does this mean? My dad likes it. And so this is specifically, and we might say literally, for whom? Israel. Okay? Now, we're the people of God. We're going to talk about what that means later for us. But the actual, and what were we to do for people that didn't keep the Sabbath? Okay, and so that's the point. You think it's serious? Aren't, you know, and we're cheating here, but we're skipping ahead. We're the church. Aren't you glad we are not the theocracy? See, this is goes to biblical, you know, Old Testament, New Testament, all these laws, you know, especially the ceremonial laws, the civic laws, those were for Israel as God's people, as a theocracy. I know we have people that would like America to be a theocracy, but we are not Israel. This is a different covenant, you might say. This, we are under the new covenant. So obviously the Mosaic covenant still applies, but we have to do a little more work to go from the meaning, what is the principle for us, and then for each of us individually, what is the application of that? We'll get to that in 5 or 6 weeks, probably. No, just kidding. Okay, does everybody understand that? See, right there is a lot of the misunderstanding that people get very upset about this habit. So I'm not Israel. So, you know, so how do I keep that principle, that application? Well, we could talk about that. Okay. So, like I mentioned, where is this command recorded and what is the reason? This is especially important for the Sabbath. In Exodus 20, notice how God grounds it in creation legislation. So it's vertical. This is because of what I did, and you are my people. This is the law given on Mount Sinai. And so it's the establishment of that law. So that's a very specific context. In Deuteronomy 5, it's more of an Exodus at the end of the 40 years. It's more of a preaching context. So, you know, how did Moses take the old text and re-preach it, you might say? And this was for second generation redeemed Israelites. These were the Israelites that were going into the promised land. What had happened to the other ones? They died. Okay? And why did they die? Stiff-necked. You know, there was even Moses, he struck a rock. He was not able to enter the promised land because he disobeyed God. So it's more of a horizontal. And so the purpose is more of encouraging these, you know, Sunday school kids going in to take over the promised land to continue to observe the Sabbath. So bottom line, it's a command and very specific command for Israel. That's what we're talking about right now. But it was also to be a gift. And so the Pharisees, and they didn't quite understand that aspect, even in the days of Jesus. So a couple more texts to illustrate how serious it is. Exodus 35, verses 2 and 3. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh day shall be a holy day for you, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death. That's serious. You shall kindle no fire throughout your dwellings on the Sabbath day. And so, Georgia, would you read Numbers 15. Numbers 15, verses 32 to 36. What is your reaction to that? Pretty harsh. And a lot of people today think, boy, I'm glad that mean old God in the Old Testament got nice by the New Testament. No, what should that tell us? What was, well, the verses I read, it's a holy day for Israel, very specific for Israel to show their obedience to the Lord. You think God's serious about his commands? Aren't you glad we don't have a God that, well, some of us think we probably do have a God that likes to wink at our sins. See, that's serious. And so, like my mom said, boy, that seems harsh. And you guys know how many quote-unquote scholars have tried to explain away the Old Testament. Well, that's totally not for us, you know, because that's an angry God. I mean, did you know that God commanded genocide? What kind of God could do that? Well, have we forgotten that everybody deserves to die because of sin? And especially the Cainites and the termites and the parasites. Okay, so, and we're going to see that in the sermon. God uses his people to execute judgment, and he's going to use Babylonians to execute judgment on Israel. God is serious. He is a holy God. We forget that too often. And if you get God wrong, I'm sorry, all the other areas of theology, you're going to mess up because we don't take God seriously. Calvin. And we're going to look at some of those verses, but see, that's all that is behind MSA. Do we understand what God's word says, or do we understand what we want it to say? And so our interpretation, you're going to die if you don't agree with me. See, Jesus, of course, he wrote the book. He knows what it really meant. And those Pharisees, scribes, Republicans, that's a joke. They didn't. They had their own interpretation. Yeah, Chad. Wait a minute. Do we let visitors talk?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead, Chad. Very good. And we're going to get to that because that's how did Jesus interact and what did he, because God never changes, but how we obey and believe in God depends on different eras of our understanding. So very good question, because he's going to explain that and he's going to, well, and if Jesus says it, I believe it. But see, right now, we are under a theocracy. This is for Israel specific. This is what, 1,400 years before Christ. And so the Israelite people right now have the creation covenant. They have the Noahic covenant, Noah. They have the Abrahamic covenant, and now they are receiving the Mosaic covenant. There's an asterisk class if you want. All the covenants, and does one supersede the other? Or do they build on each other? You know, God is consistent, and God's holiness may have looked this way. We're going to put the guy to death for sticks. No impurity, no lack of obedience in a very strict way. And as Americans, we don't like that. That seems harsh, doesn't it? And so now along comes in the New Testament, we're going to see how Jesus now is with the coming of God, the Son, into the world, how things are being transformed. I mean, think of the Sermon on the Mount. You have heard it said, but I say to you. So it doesn't get looser. It actually internally gets more stringent. And that's what we forget. We like lists of rules. Thou shalt not murder. Now, I didn't kill that guy, literally. So I'm good. That's keeping the letter of the law, if you will, Old Testament. But now, what is that? But Jesus says, where do you go beyond that? And so that's, you know, it goes deeper. It's more of an internal thing than just external. Yeah, Chad.
That's depicted when he's giving the will of the famous woes to the Pharisees about calling them whitewashed tombs on the outside. Like, that's the internal
transformation that we're about now. Excellent. Excellent. And okay, now put that in churches today. How many church people, man, they look good on Sunday. Man, they are whitewashed. I mean, they wear coat and ties. You know, Kelvin is putting on a show for us, but you should see him during the week. Man, is that guy a cheat and a liar. But we are men pleaser. God knows our heart more than we do. Read Jeremiah 17, 20, 19 and 20. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, understand. So, yes, you're getting, no pun intended, you are getting to the heart of the matter. And that's where we're going with this. Right now, we're just the meaning of what it was back then and some examples of how serious this was. So, very good. We need more visitors. They're pretty smart. Thank you, Jen. That's good. All right, so, but it was also a gift that, see, sometimes even the Pharisees, you know, in that interim period, they were still under Old Testament law until the resurrection and the giving of the Holy Spirit, Pentecost. But they forget the gift, and we won't read the whole chapter for time, but Exodus 16 talks about the manna that on the Sabbath day, well, on the sixth day, what happened? Double portions. And how much extra? Enough for the seventh day. Because what happened to those hoarders that tried to collect extra? Same thing with the quail. So God provided. It was a gift. I'll take care of you if you honor my Sabbath to Israel. Then sometimes what is called the sabbatical principle of resting and release, just being able to release things. Exodus 23, verses 10 and 11. 6 years you shall sow your land and gather in its produce, but the seventh year you shall let it rest and lie fallow, that the poor of your people may eat, and what they leave, the beasts of the field may eat. In like manner, you shall do with your vineyard and your olive grove. So, even the land, every seventh year was a Sabbath year for the land. And we were talking about this the other day. Sort of a, this is not the purpose. You know, some, oh, well, God knew, God knew that we need to keep the land fallow to let it, the nitrogen regenerate. Okay, that may be a happy coincidence. That's not the purpose, but we sort of do that today with farmland. Any of those of you who grew up on farms, you know you sometimes would leave land fallow for a little bit to let it rest and rejuvenate. Go ahead and turn to Leviticus 23. So Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus 25, sorry. And we won't read the whole chapter, but I would encourage some homework. Read Leviticus 25. So the whole chapter is about the Sabbath. So the first seven verses are about the Sabbath year. And so verse 6, and the Sabbath produce of the land shall be food for you, because you have left the seventh year, there shall be a Sabbath, verse 4, of solemn rest for the land, a Sabbath to the Lord. And just so you know, you guys get the special bonus, we're starting a series on Ezra today. Why were they in the Babylonian captivity? You'll find out, but it was because they had not honored the Sabbath. I mean, can you see people of any time? Well, if I don't plant crops on this whole year, I'm not making money. So you're more worried about money than what God said. I mean, that would never apply to us today, I know. But that's why 70 Sabbath years they had missed. And so that's why they went into captivity for 70 years. Okay, you'll see that later in the sermon. Okay, verse 8. And then you shall count seven Sabbaths of years. So after 49 years, seven times 7 years, and the time of the seven Sabbaths of years shall be to you 49 years. Verse 9, then you shall cause the trumpet of the Jubilee. So the Jubilee year was every 50 years. So that was a big Sabbath year, and it would be 2 years. And later, in, if you keep reading, God would provide for those 2 years. So if you honor the Sabbaths, you'll be taken care of for the Sabbath year and the Jubilee year. Georgia and I was when we were studying in Israel, they had T-shirts. I think it was Yisrael Yovel, but it was the 1998 from 1948 when Israel was, proclaimed a secular nation. That was the 50th Jubilee, Yovel, Jubilee year. And that's sort of special. I'm not going to read the rest of it, but it also talks about returning land to the original owners during this period. Because the land, the promised land, belongs to God. And so it goes back to the owners that God has given them the temporary ownership of, we might say. And then later it talks about the kinsman redeemer. If you've ever heard a sermon series on Ruth, that's what a beautiful picture of Boaz with Ruth. And that's a picture, of course, of our kinsman redeemer who comes in on that certain years back then, the rich kinsman redeemer, the Goel, could come and restore and buy you out of slavery. And so he was your champion. Well, who do you think is our ultimate kinsman, human redeemer? Sounds like a squirrel, but it's Jesus. All right, I'm going to have somebody, who could I pick on next? Janet. Would you read 2 Chronicles 36? It's on page 470 in my Bible. 36, verses 19 to 21. Get that?
Where they became servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbath, as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill the 7 years.
So you Israelites won't keep the Sabbath? God will help you. He'll bring the Babylonians to take you away into captivity. And that's what Ezra's going to be. All right, so once again, you come up here afterwards, I'll sign your little teacher gold star thing, because now you know more about the background to Ezra. So it's serious, it's a command. But then also the Sabbath is the model, or you, sometimes if you know the word paradigm, for the various feasts. Sanctifying a time for the Lord. And so, Leviticus chapter 23, I won't, but read more homework. Read Leviticus 23. That's about all the feasts, the biblical feasts. And we've done a sermon series that years ago, but understanding God's timing is, I think, very relevant for us today. But Leviticus 23, verse 4. So these are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations in which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. And it talks about the Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, all those feasts. But they are specific times to sanctify a time like a Sabbath to the Lord. So the feasts weren't just holidays, they were there to remember and to worship God and recognize what he had done. All right, who can I pick on for this? Tammy, would you please read Psalm 92? This is a good psalm about, sort of, you might say, the hymn of the Sabbath. Thank you. So the heading, which, you know, gives some historical context, you know, in the New King James, it's a psalm, a song for the Sabbath day. So that's, you know, sort of a psalm, the hymn book, if you will, of the Israelites. That's what we rejoiced to God for the Sabbath. So that's a good way to, let's not end on killing guys for picking up sticks. Let's worship God for the benefits and the gift of the Sabbath. We have a few minutes, we'll take advantage of it. But any questions, Judy?
Why at the very end of Psalm 92:15, Mayhem is not capitalized?
Okay, and minor. Say that again, sorry. Well, you probably have a perversion. That's probably an error then, because actually that's the context. Well, in the New King James and New King James, they were very reverential, we might say. And whenever God is being talking about, he chose his pronouns, by the way. And you capitalize those pronouns that he decided on. But grammatically, no, but it's a stylistic thing that I like just to show God is different. But stylistically, if you read any, you know, newer commentaries, things, grammatically, it's not capitalized. That sort of bothers me, but it's not a big deal. Well, you know, let's not, I'd say we burn people for that. Any other comments? There you go. All right, one more verse and we're going to end on time today. Huh. And they laughed and laughed. All right, Mom, would you please read again? Luke 23, verse 54. To verse, chapter 24, verse 1. Now we're getting into the New Testament. Luke 23, verse 54 to 24, verse 1.
It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed. He saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath day, they rested according to the commandment. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices which they had prepared.
Okay, so just you know, this is historical narrative. So what day is the preparation? That's a very technical term in Hebrew. What is the preparation day? Friday, preparing for the Sabbath. And so that because the Sabbath drew near, and so the women came to scout things out, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. See, they're still operating, if you will, under Mosaic law, because the resurrection is about to happen. And so I would just point out, here's a connection to last Sunday. This affects the date of Jesus' resurrection. What day was he crucified? How many days was he in the tomb? What day did he rise again? Believe me, that's an asterisk class, Kelvin. That gets really into some big stuff. But they're doing what's appropriate, but they're resting on the Sabbath. And then we know the rest of the story, and Giles preached a great sermon last week about some of the personal impact of the resurrection, the reality of the resurrection on Resurrection Day, Easter Sunday. So even now in the New Testament, we're still talking about the Sabbath. And we will, 10 o'clock exactly, we will end right there, but we will see Jesus kept the Sabbath. Paul kept the Sabbath. This is how serious, even in the early stages, the Gospels of the New Testament, because once again, this is still Old Testament, we might say, time. So they are still operating. Jesus kept the Mosaic law. I mean, he knew, you know, of course he knew the deeper purpose, but he kept it because he was without sin. Not one jot nor tittle will fall away from, you know, will fall away, but he kept all the law for us. And that's the thing. All you people don't keep the Sabbath the way you're supposed to. Aren't you glad Jesus did for us? So, any final questions? Jenna? That's right. If you actually care about this stuff, you better come back next week. So, Chad and Sally, you're stuck. No matter how bad this church is, you got to come back next week. No, we're glad you're here. Any final questions? Scott, would you pray for us, please?
Sunday morning and the service at Jesus' name.